May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, one of the things that is really important for all of us is that we in the West are exposed to so much Bible study and so much word, written word, that it can become a little bit like prophetic words. You can get so many prophetic words that you just don't really pay that much attention to them. Like they sound cool when you get them, but then they didn't hang on to anything. They didn't stick to your ribs. James talks about an implanted word that is able to bring wholeness to our souls. So my prayer is that for me, whenever I'm in the scriptures, just in my time alone with the Lord, or whenever I hear a word, that'll be an implanted word. It won't just be a fascinating word or a word that I think is really neat or encouraging, but it'll be implanted so that it accomplishes something much deeper and much more permanent than just encouraging me. This is one of those scriptures that are profoundly significant in terms of our walk with the Lord. And we're going to consistently walk as overcomers. We're going to consistently abide in Christ. Because there are going to be times that Jesus does things that if we don't have eyes to see, will offend us. There are a lot of cool stuff in the verses that Bracken read. But what's always ministered to me is the fact that John sent word. Now, John's the first one who publicly acknowledged that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And he did it repeatedly. Some of his own disciples left him to follow Jesus. This was his cousin. So John was really certain. God really showed him that his cousin was the Messiah. But now he is in jail. He's going to get eventually beheaded. And things are not turning out the way he thought they were going to turn out. And so when Jesus adds there at the end, blessed is he who's not offended with me, it's in response to John. It's not a rebuke. It was just, John's like everybody else. He needed a word from the Lord. And that was the word. John thought the Messiah would overthrow the rule of Rome. He would do some very physical things that would set Israel free from being a slave nation. Instead, Jesus was doing some very powerful spiritual things that were setting all of mankind free from being slaves to the reign of sin, which was a much more serious condition than who wins the election. When John sent word asking, are you really the Messiah? Obviously, that whole thing had gotten unsettled in him because Jesus was not doing it the way he thought Jesus was going to do it. Now, what Jesus was doing was minimal things like raising the dead, healing the blind, the sick, the crippled. But that's not what John was looking for. But Jesus was doing significant things. There are times in our lives when we're looking for Jesus to do something. Now, he eventually is going to overthrow all those things, too. That there won't be corrupt governments anymore. We won't have crazy elections anymore. Thank you, Jesus. So that was going to eventually happen. That will come too in the new heavens and the new earth. But Jesus was doing significant things, but John couldn't see it because he was looking for something else. How many times in our lives have we gotten offended with the Lord because we were looking for something to happen, and because it wasn't happening the way we thought it was going to happen, we even have promises, we may even have prophetic words, and it's not happening yet the way we thought it was going to happen, And so we don't have eyes to see that Jesus is doing some amazingly significant things, but because we've become offended with him, we're not doing it the way we thought he was going to do it and the way we want him to do it, that we're beginning to question, we're beginning to walk in unbelief in a lot of ways. John was doubting because his heart was offended. It's one of the real ploys of the enemy. It's one of the real war games in our walk with the Lord and in the school of Christ, that there are going to be times when Jesus is doing it different in the present than what you thought. And you can't allow that to cause you to become offended with him because you're disappointed. It'll impact your entire walk. And that's what the enemy's after. What the Lord's wanting you to do is to grow and to trust him, even though it seems like he's not doing it the way you want it. He knows exactly what he's doing. He will keep his word to you. But you can trust that though you can't see it, he's doing significant things. So just praise him. Just trust him. And don't give the enemy even one little foothold. If it can happen to John the Baptist, whom Jesus said up to this point, up to the New Testament, was the greatest man who had ever lived, greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than any of those people. If it can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to Chuck Jones or any of us. We have to be, he says, do not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. That's one of the enemy's great schemes, is through disappointment for you to get offended with the Lord because he's not doing it the way you wanted him to or the way you thought he was supposed to. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.